And we're excited. She's going to share a Mother's Day message with you that I know will be very special. They're going to be flying out in the morning, going all over the place. I'll let her tell about that. But they're excited about that. They're going to party in Europe. Amen. And have a big time. So if you would, stand on your feet. Let's give Pastor Donna a great big hand as she comes today to minister. Amen.
You guys can be seated. Thank you so much. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to talk to you guys today for Mother's Day. Every Sunday is a wonderful day, and every Wednesday is a wonderful day to learn about God. There are some that are kind of like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I have what we need for this message, because this is a big one. Mother's Day is a big one. But thank you, Pastor James and Pastor Melissa, for allowing us to do that. This weekend it's been busy, but in the best way possible. Eric graduated yesterday. That was fun. That was different, but it was good. It was good. It was a blessing. MHEA does a beautiful job with their graduations, and since you are the homeschool parent, then they let you walk across the stage with your child. That is a blessing. But it's also, you pack tissues because you are walking across the stage with them. There was one moment where he took my hand, and you know, when you're a mom, for a long time, you're holding your kid's hand because they need help or they need guidance, or you're directing them and you're leading them and you're protecting them, and they need you at that moment. And yesterday, he grabbed my hand and he didn't need me, but he chose me. And it was just a blessing. It was just a blessing. Thank you to everyone who was able to come out yesterday. I know it's a busy weekend. If you were able to come for the reception we had here at the church, thank you so much. Thank you for everyone who has loved on Eric and cared for him. He showed me some stickers that he got from Miss Valerie and a coloring book. That's amazing. So thank you guys so much. I joked on Wednesday. They said, "How is your message coming for Mother's Day?" And I was like, "Well, I have three messages, and I'm not sure which one is going to make it, but, you know, I'm ready for something. You know, God has got some good things planned." And then I was going over my message, and God was like, "All three of them are for today." And y'all might be nervous, because I see some looks. Actually, I saw it. So I see some looks. I'll let you know, I only have one page of notes. Now, it is an outline, and I fill in the gaps really well, but hold on. We got it. We got it going. All right. But I was like, "Well, God, I don't know. I mean, these don't necessarily go together. I'm not seeing it." But then yesterday, he gelled them all together real nice, just like God does, just in time. And I was like, maybe it's because people are in the different stages of life at different times. And then I looked at it, and I was like, these are actually all for me right now. So if you're like me and you have a lot going on and God wants to deal with you, maybe all three are for you, maybe just one or two. But praise God, we're going to get into it. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this church. God, I thank you for so much for these beautiful people that are here, moms and dads, and people who are pouring into lives of kids and neighbors and loved ones. God, we thank you so much for each and every one of them. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for the blessing that each one of these church members are. God, I thank you that our eyes of our understanding are enlightened, that our hearts and our spirits are flooded with light from your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into it. All right. Praise God. Well, do you remember, some of you guys might remember, nobody is that young that they don't remember, but in COVID time in 2020, do you remember the signs that were up everywhere that says, "You are essential"? Anybody remember those signs? Sometimes they would have them at Chick-fil-A because, you know what? We need Jesus' chicken in the middle of a pandemic. That they were essential. You know, people that were working in the hospitals were essential. So a lot of people were seen as essential. And today I want you to know that you are essential. Sometimes in our lives we may think that we have served our time. We have fought the good fight. We have finished the course. We are going to sit down and we are done. Anybody? So I will tell on myself today. Some of you have asked me how we got started in kids ministry, and I'll tell you, it's not a beautiful story. It is not one, but it turned out to be beautiful. So I was pregnant with Hannah. We had Eric at the time, and he was just a little toddler. And Matthew comes home from work at the church out in East Tennessee, and he says, guess what? So I was at church today, and Pastor said that the people that are the kids' pastors are going to be leaving this summer, and he asked us if we wanted to do it. And my thought was, well, what did you tell him? And my wonderful husband, who loves to serve and has such a heart to serve, was like, well, I told him, yes, we would be happy to. And I'm pregnant, and I'm like, okay. So I was very obedient. I did everything I was supposed to do. I got lessons together. I served. I got shingles. And so in the middle of it, I was possibly having myself a little pity party, going to church, doing the Lord's work. I don't know if anybody else has ever had a pity party going to church. I did. And so it was, Uncle James, or Pastor James raises his hand. All right, so I know, if you serve, you've had a pity party on the way to church. And so Eric was in the back, and he was singing some song that was like VeggieTales or something, and he's happy in his little car seat, and Hannah, I don't know, she might have been happy in her little infant seat, I'm not sure, but it felt hard. It felt hard on the way to church, and I was having a pity party, and I talked to God, and I said, God, I don't understand. I am being willing, and I'm being obedient, and it says in the Word that I'm supposed to be eating the good of the land, and I've got shingles, and I'm not eating the good of the land. And do you know what my loving Heavenly Father told me? You are being obedient, but you're not being willing. Now, that was a little tough to hear, but it was exactly what I needed to hear, because for me to be able to eat the good of the land, I didn't just need to be obedient. And I'm sure that those kids would rather have somebody else in there at that point that was willing to be in there. But I tell you this because it comes from a place of, I've been there where I wasn't willing and obedient, and I wasn't eating the good of the land, and that wasn't what God had for me. Another way of looking at willing is being eager to serve, right? How many of you guys have been obedient because you had to, but maybe you weren't eager or willing to serve? But both of those, we have to have both of those. A few years ago, my girls are involved in American Heritage Girls, wonderful organization. They have really thrived in it. It's been great. And I started helping and serving as a unit leader in 2017. And a few years ago, I thought my time was over. And I was like, I have served my time, almost like a prison sentence. I've served my time, everybody. I'm out. You know, Hannah moved up to the group I was helping with, and I was like, this is my easy out. I'm done. And so then last summer, the leader of the group, she called me and she was like, hey, I know we've asked you a couple times to come back and it hasn't been the right time. And so she starts talking to me about it, and another lady would be helping in the group that I really enjoy spending time with. And I prayed about it and I was like, okay, I will come back. It'll be good. And so I was willing and I was obedient. I came back and it was a great year coming back and helping with them. And I kept wondering, I was like, God, why am I back? You know, what am I, like, I'm having fun, I'm enjoying it. And then I found out my why. So this year, one of Ella's friends in the group, her mom was expecting a baby. And we did like a big deal, we did like a diaper party for her, and brought diapers, just threw them at her, right? Wipes, just threw them at her and everything. And everybody was excited. She was about my age, so it was a surprise, and everyone was excited about this. And one day, the baby was born and wasn't going to be able to make it. And so that was devastating for everybody. And I was praying, and I was like, God, please be with the mom. And then I thought of the sweet little girl, and she just is the sweetest and has a heart to serve and a heart for others. And I was like, God, I don't want this to be something that hinders her or makes her bitter or makes her sad. Like, I, God, please help me figure out a way, or help somebody in our group figure out a way to be a blessing to her, to reach her and let her know that we love her, that we support her, that we're there for her. And God reminded me that a couple weeks before, she had made these cute little friendship bracelets for everybody in our group, because some younger groups were going to be coming and joining us that meeting. And I thought, she likes bracelets. And so when I was praying, God reminded me of that. And he's like, make bracelets that say who she is in Christ or what she is promised in Christ. And so I talked to the troop leader, and we got together, and we had a whole day of it. So they got together, and there were snacks, and there was popcorn, and there were beads everywhere. It was a hot mess, but in the best possible way. You know, beads are flying. And that night, we came to the meeting, and I look at her, and she has bracelets all up both arms, every single one that the kids made for her, because they can make one for themselves and one for her. And every single one that they had made her, she was wearing all of them. And I said, well, it looks like you got a lot of them. And her face was just beaming with joy. And she had this huge smile on her face. And I looked at her and I was like, that is my why. That is why I came back. Now, somebody else could have come up with that. God could have used somebody else to be able to minister to her where she was in that time of need. But I'm very thankful that I got to be that person for her this year, right? Because people need you. People need you. And if I wasn't there, would I have known about the bracelets? I don't know. Maybe I would have. God could have used me. But still, you need to be willing and obedient to be able to do what God has for you to do. Now, the flip side of that is that some of us think it's all on me. It's all on me, and we need to learn the importance of rest, right? I told you, one of them might not hit, but the next one might. So the next part is we need to learn to rest. In Luke 12:25, we have up here who was a very sweet lady. If anyone was to ask me, how would you describe your grandma? I would say, if you look at Miss Doris, She is very much just sweet, loving, wonderful lady, full of the Word of God. So when I look at Miss Doris, it just reminds me of my grandma every single time. But anyway, so my grandma, she was a doer, and she had to be. She was 4'9" and powerful as can be. She had 5 kids. Eventually, she was taking care of everybody. She was feeding everybody from what was growing in her backyard. She was making everybody's clothes. She was working at the bakery it was in Winston, North Carolina, but it was basically kind of like Little Debbie's, but their version of it there. And so she was working nonstop. And she got so much in the process of, this is it. It's all on me. And it was for so many years that she never learned to rest. And so when she was a little older, she got Alzheimer's. And so she couldn't remember us. And she couldn't remember some different key events. She couldn't remember what she had done. She did. She was living in an assisted living facility, and she loved baby Jesus when it came time for Christmas. And so they had a little bit of an incident. My mom got called, and they said, I'm so sorry. We have a string of thefts, and it's baby Jesus. He's missing. A lot of people put out the nativities each year, and so someone's going, and they're trying to say it nicely, like, we're not trying to say your mother is stealing baby Jesus from everyone's room, but, you know, connect the dots. And so finally, my mom's like, well, who would go in and steal everybody's baby Jesus? And so finally they were like, it's your mother. And we found him in the top drawer of her dresser. We kind of need you to talk to her about this. So would she ever really steal baby Jesus? No, but she had Alzheimer's, and she was dealing with some stuff. But one thing that she would do is she could quote scripture just like she had learned it yesterday. And the Word of God was strong on the inside of her even to that day. And then there was a poem that she had learned when she was in elementary school. And she would sit there, and she could recite. She did not know where she was, and she didn't know who we were. She didn't know who she was. But she could recite this poem just like she had learned it the other day when she was 6 or 7 years old. And I said that for Ella, so that way she knew that. All right, so All right, so the little poem that she learned was, it was The Robin and the Sparrow. Anybody know that poem? She learned it in elementary school and said it all the time. She says, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. So she would say that verse, and even while she was stuck in the wheelchair, she couldn't rest. Like, she was always wandering the halls, even in her wheelchair. And I remember crying out to God, and I was like, God, she knows rest. Like, she knows this poem. She understands the importance of rest and peace. Why is she not able, at this stage in her life, like, she's cared for people all of her life. Now's her time to rest and be able to relax. Why can't she? Why is she having a hard time with that? And God reminded me that there's a difference between knowing we aren't to be anxious and choosing rest. I'm going to say that one again. There's a difference between knowing we aren't to be anxious and choosing rest. Rest is a choice. Rest is a choice. That's a choice that we have to make. Now, when we were busy having kids, and it happened quick. And one day, Melissa, because she's wonderful with numbers, and she texted me or told me one time, she was like, did you know that your kids are all 26 months apart? And I was like, never. I mean, we were too busy. I didn't even know. And then I started sitting there, and I was like, they are. They're all 26 months. Okay. Well, you know what that does? That means that you're always changing a diaper. So 2008 until 2014, somebody was in diapers, and sometimes there was a little overlap, and a few different people were in diapers at the same time. And I remember thinking, when that last one gets out of diapers, we are going to save so much money. Because, and in my mind, I was like, how much do we spend each month? And then I was like, wow, that's a lot. And then I was like, well, how much do we spend each year? And then I was like, well, that's a lot. Then I thought, how much have we been spending since 2008? That's a whole lot. And so I thought, when we had a party. When Ella got out of diapers, she's the youngest, so she wasn't a late bloomer. When she finally got out of diapers, we had a party. We had a potty party. And we wore like the little pull-ups on her head. We had cupcakes. I mean, it was a big deal because we were like, we are done. We have finished that finish line. And I would love to say that since Ella finished using diapers, we have saved so much money each month. And I would love to show you like our savings account where every month we put in all that money that we were spending on diapers and we were spending on wipes. But I'll tell you the truth. You know where that money is? We don't know. we have no idea. Because something else came along and needed that money for whatever it was, right? So all that money we thought we were going to be getting, we never got because it got absorbed into something else. Time is the same way. Time is a commodity. And that's something that God's really dealing with me right now, is that time is a commodity, time is a gift. And what you choose to do with your time matters. Because you only have so much time each day. So there is a little thing by Chuck Swindoll, and there we go. Each morning, God deposits 86,400 seconds, talk about mind-blowing, 86,400 seconds into our bank of time. But nothing carries over to the next day. Spend it well. So it reminded me of when the Israelites were in the wilderness. And God gave them manna, supernaturally provided manna for them every single day. And the only problem was that if you took too much, you took extra, you were going to hide some away in your house, it was going to what? What was going to happen to it? It was going to mold or spoil or get yucky things on the inside of it, right? Insects or whatever, except for the day, like to prepare for the Sabbath. So God reminded me that's how time is. We're each given 86,400 seconds every day. And our time is not like at a job where if you don't use all your vacation time, it rolls over to the next year It doesn't roll over for you, right? Those are your minutes. Those are your seconds. Those are your hours each day for you to be productive or for you to do what God is calling you to do. If you want to spin your tires all day and be anxious and worried about things that you can't control, that's going to eat away at what you have. That's going to eat away at your time that you have. Choose to rest. Choose to relax. Choose to enjoy what it is that God has for you. So in Deuteronomy 30:19, we have the beautiful verse where it talks about, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And I love this one because it's kind of like if you, I always talk about it with kids in kids' church, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, right? Like it's like a little trick, like, okay, I know I gave you choices, right? But I'm going to give you a hint, choose life, right? So we're cleaning out the pantry right now because we're heading out tomorrow. All right, and so we have some choices. All right, so we have some old hot dog buns that everybody kind of forgot about in the back of the pantry, right? So you have a choice. You can have this. They're hard. They don't even really tear apart very well anymore. They've been there a while. I'm trying to remember the last time we had hot dogs. It's been a while, honestly. I think Matthew wanted it for his birthday, and that was in April. It's been a while. So we have this. So I have set before you life and death. Guess what this probably is? The death, the curses, right? Or choose life. I brought the loaf of bread. You would have thought I didn't feed my kids breakfast this morning because they're all in the bag of bread and they're just like eating it. And I was just like, guys, that's off the, get it out of the bag, right? So anyway, so they're teenagers and they enjoy just anything. But anyway, so choose life, right? You have a choice. You can choose to be anxious. You can choose to be stressed. You can go around like it's a badge of honor how stressed you are and how anxious you are and how worried you are and how everything is on you. You can go around with that as your badge. Let me tell you, have you ever been with somebody who loves to tell you how busy they are and how stressed they are and you feel drained when you get finished with them, right? There's someone at American Heritage Girls, and you see her coming, and you can tell. And so she comes up, and she's like, let me tell you. And I mean, it's almost like a list. Like it starts this small, and then like she lets it down, and it just like flows out. And she's reading it all, and I guess kind of wanting you to be like, oh, how did you do it? How do you look at you go, you know? But in the moment, you're kind of like, it's okay. It's not all on you, right? And maybe it is, but get with God. Rest in Him. Sometimes it is on you, right? Sometimes you do have to be the one to get things done, and that's okay. But if you are, don't let it steal your rest. Don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it create anxious thoughts. Don't be getting up in the middle of the night worried about it, because that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to choose life, right? If you're having a busy weekend or you're having a busy week or whatever it is, God, I thank you that I have more than enough strength to do everything it is that you're calling me to do this weekend. And when you look at it from that point of view, at the end of it, you might be tired and you might have done a lot of things, but at the end of it, you say, thank you, God, that I was able to get done everything I'm supposed to do this weekend, and I'm on the other side of it. Praise God. God wants to give us that supernatural rest if we trust in Him. And then the last part, so maybe you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? I know I'm essential. And I am serving how I need to serve, and I can rest and find my joy in Him. So maybe this one's for you. It's a mixed bag for everyone. And this one is choose peace. Choose peace. So we talked about choosing rest, but we also need to choose peace. All right, now I'm doing the devotion from Cheryl Salem that she had here before, the Obtaining Peace. Did anybody else get that one? the Attaining Peace devotions. It's really good. If you didn't get it, it will put you in your place, and that's okay. I needed to be put in my place, and that is where this is. So you guys get to learn along with me. So when we talk about the definition of peace, peace is a state of rest, quietness, and calmness, absence of strife. Peace is a state of rest, quietness, and calmness, absence of strife. We have to choose peace. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. A lot of us already know that, but just as a little bit of a review, in Exodus 21 and 22, shalom is used 14 times. And in that one, it's talking about where they were talking about material loss. And so if somebody had something and it got stolen or broken, whatever it was, this word was meant to make good, restore, make something whole. Make something whole. It's also used in the story of Joseph in Genesis. So we all know the story of Joseph, how he was favored by his father, and then his brothers were not happy with that. They did not have peace. And so then they decide to throw Joseph. Well, the first of them, they wanted to kill him. And then the one brother is like, okay, everybody, I love my brother. We're not going to kill him. We'll just throw him in a pit and sell him. Brother of the year, right? You can thank me later. And so he tells them, okay, we're going to throw him in a pit. So Joseph had a really good opportunity for his peace to get stolen from him, didn't he? He had a really good chance to get bitter, to get grumpy, to get on the poor me, pity me, victim side of life. But he didn't choose to do that. And we can see that because Joseph, everywhere he went, he got promoted. So he was in the pit, and he went to Potiphar's house. And at Potiphar's house, he was promoted. And so he's head of the house until Potiphar's wife says something that didn't happen, and he gets in trouble. That would have been a really good time for Joseph to get real bitter and real grumpy and real angry and to be a victim and say, what about me? So he gets thrown in prison. In prison, he gets promoted again in prison. Like, how do you get promoted in prison? Joseph did. So Joseph's in prison. He gets promoted. And so now he's in charge of the other prisoners, right? They see him as a leader. And so he gets promoted to the palace. So he now is working, and he's in charge. There's a famine in the land, doing the Cliff Note versions. You guys can go back, and you can read the whole story. So he gets promoted. He's in charge of all of the food distribution because there's a famine in the land. And who comes up to need food and need something from Joseph but his own brothers? And his brothers come up, and if Joseph had chosen to be in the pit and get bitter and get angry and be like, what about me? He could have told them, you don't get any food. No food for you, right? But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph thinks about his father. And he loves his father. And so he asks them, this verse of shalom appears again when we're talking about Joseph in Genesis 43, 27, and 28. And he starts asking about his dad. And when it has shalom there, it's talking about well-being. Is he doing okay? Is he alive? Is he in good health? Talking about his father. Instead of him being bitter and angry and resentful for his brothers for doing this to him, he turns it around. It's a choice that we have to make. Peace is a choice. We can choose to either have peace or we can be right. We can choose to have peace or we can allow something that somebody did or somebody said, and maybe they were wrong. Joseph's brothers were wrong. But Joseph didn't let that steal his peace, because if he did, he might not have ever gotten out of prison. We have a choice that we need to make. So we're going to go ahead and turn. This one was one that I didn't give my wonderful husband for him to put on the screen. But we are going to go ahead and turn in our Bible, if you will, if you have one, to Mark 4:35. And if you don't, then it's Bible story time, and I can read it to you. So in Mark 4:35, we have Jesus, and Jesus gets started, and he tells his disciples, he lays it out for them. we're going to get in this boat. I think of it, if you've ever had kids and you're trying to explain something to them, it's like, okay, everybody, we're going to get in the boat now. We're going to go to the other side. And then we're going to do things there, okay? I'm going to go take a nap and lay down. And when we get up, we're going to be on the other side, right? So that's what Jesus is talking about here in Mark 4:35. I love it because really he's talking to the disciples like they're his kids, right? So in Mark 4:35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, we're going to go to the other side, right? Did they know where they were going? Did Jesus say, hey, guys, it's going to get real crazy in here? No, Jesus said, we're going to get to the other side. That's our plan. We're going to get there. He told them what they were doing. And it says, in leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear after that because they were shocked what was happening. So here Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is asleep because he told them they were going to do what? Go to the other side. So he knows where they're going. He's like, I need to get ready because when I get to the other side, people are going to come and I'm going to need to preach and heal and teach. And so he's asleep in the boat. And the disciples see the wind and they see the waves and they're greatly disturbed. They have no peace. Now the disciples could have spoke to the wind and spoke to the waves, couldn't they? Had they already spent time with Jesus? Yes, all right. So they had already been spending time with Jesus. They could have spoken to the wind and the waves themselves. But instead of that, they run to Jesus, and the first thing they ask him isn't, Jesus, can you help us? Jesus, don't you care? Man, have you ever said that to God? Jesus, don't you care? Okay, maybe I'm the only one, but I have, right? And so there's been times that people maybe have said something or there's been a situation that came up that was problematic for me, that it would have been very easy for me to get offended about, that was there to steal my peace and to steal my joy. And I, in my own way, said to Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that they're doing this to me? Don't you care that they're not there for me? Don't you care that I've done all of this and they're not doing what they were supposed to do? Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus told me, but God. Instead of, because sometimes when we're all in that victim mentality of, don't you care, there's a big but God, you don't understand. They did this, or they said this, or this happened. And God said, instead of saying, but whatever they did, but God. When you do that, that changes it around. That takes you into the place where you're choosing peace. Instead of you choosing to be offended, or to be upset, or to allow those things to steal your joy, to steal your rest, to steal your peace, you're choosing, but God. But God is my everlasting and loving Father. But God is always with me. But God will never leave me. But God will never forsake me. But God is closer than a brother. My Jesus is closer than a brother. But God, choose that peace. Some of us today, maybe you have the absolute perfect relationship with your family members. Maybe you do, and I am so happy for you and thankful for you. And God was leading me, and he was like, maybe there's some areas where you could be offended, or you could be worried, or you could be upset about something. Some things are possibly stealing your peace or stealing your joy. And today is the day to say, I'm not allowing that to steal my peace anymore. Peace is a choice that you make. Just like you can choose life or you can choose death, choose life, right? You can choose to be anxious or you can choose rest. Choose rest. You can choose to be offended. You can choose to be right. You can choose peace. The choice is up to you, but it's going to make a huge difference in your life how you deal with it. A few years ago, there were some little robins built, a mama robin built a nest in one of our little hanging flower pots. And she laid 4 eggs, and 3 of them hatched. And I had the best time of my life going out there and checking on them and making sure, I can't feed them. But anyway, I felt like a surrogate mom to them. They had a mom. She was doing a great job. I was just kind of messing with them. But I enjoyed the process. So this was right after they were born. Their eyes weren't even open yet. I would have sat on the nest if I could have and not squished them. But anyway, so we were sitting there eating dinner one night, and we were looking in the backyard, and all of a sudden this spring shower just pops up out of nowhere, just raining so hard and wind going. And these are my babies. And so I'm like, what are we going to do? And we look out there, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do nothing, because that mama was all over it. So this mama robin has gotten her wings all the way extended, and she is completely covering the entire nest with her wings. It was the most beautiful thing. And Matthew's sitting over there, and he's like, that's a mom. And I was like, yeah, it is. I know. I couldn't do that myself. I wish I could. I would have. But she was already out there. She was covering them. Did those baby robins even know there was a windstorm happening? Probably not, because all they knew is mama's here. Mama's here, and I'm protected. And all I know is I feel safe and secure. God is our mama robin in this situation. God wants to extend his arms around us, envelop us with his love, with his presence, with his peace. And he doesn't want us to see everything else that's happening out here, because that's not important. Jesus told them, we're going to get to the other side. He didn't say anything about the storm, because that wasn't important to him. That wasn't even part of it. We're going to get to the other side, and they did. God doesn't want us to be so worried about the storm or so worried about things that we can't do anything about, that we don't allow him to envelop us, to surround us, to give us love and joy and peace and comfort, and allow him to block those other things out so that way we can rest and relax. Those baby robins didn't do a single thing that night. They sat there, and then their mom protected them, and she got food for them, and she fed them, and she took care of them, because that was her job. She was taking good care of her babies. We have to choose to rest and allow him to take care of us. If they would have gotten out of the nest, they wouldn't have been protected, right? We choose to remain in his presence. When we are protected just like an umbrella. If we choose to step outside of God's realm of peace and protection and rest, we're on our own. God wants to give us peace, rest, and he wants us to know that we are essential. Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are a good God who loves us and cares for us. God, we thank you that you love us so much. God, we thank you that you put before us choices to choose peace, that we don't have to be anxious. God, we thank you that you allow us to choose rest, that we don't have to be offended or upset. God, thank you for helping us. God, help remind us of these things as we leave from here. When we get busy or we get worried or we get stressed, help us remember that we have a choice. We can choose life or we can choose death. Choose life. When we're tempted to say, Jesus, don't you care? Help us remember the story of the disciples, that you are right there with us, loving us, caring for us. When we're tempted to say, but God, they did this to me. help us to remember to say, but God, you are my loving and heavenly Father. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a good God who loves us and cares for us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen. Amen.